Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Greetings, friends. God bless you. Thank you for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study today. Let's go to the Lord and ask His grace upon us today. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've made this opportunity for us to come together and fellowship to share your word. Lord, we love your word, Lord. Please, work in us that desire to always love and submit to your word, Lord, not to go our own way or follow contemporary Christianity instead of your word, that your law that's already been laid down, Lord. Help us, Father. And bless us today, Lord, with understanding and wisdom, discernment, Lord. We don't want to depart in anything from what your word says, Lord. You've shown us so much, Lord. We just ask you to continue to open our eyes, deliver us from the blindness that the God of this world has put upon this whole world, Lord. Thank you for giving us grace, Lord. Thank you. And we thank you for your anointing today, Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. Well, brethren, there's some good news is that Jesus is coming in his people. And a great revival is coming upon the scene. The bad news is it's not going to be for everybody. And that there is going to be a falling away. Matter of fact, I'll say this to you, that I believe we're already started in a falling away. And that it will never stop until the coming of the Lord. I think it will pick up speed in the time of the man-child's ministry. The more truth is shared and the more people rebel, the more permanently and quickly God will reprobate people. We are entering into the days of unleavened bread here. And as you know, the Bible says that there can be no leaven found in your houses during those last 7 days in Egypt. So all those types and shadows are going to be fulfilled. You know, I shared with you already, I'll share it again in case we have some new folks, a revelation the Lord spoke to me many years ago through the word of knowledge. He told me that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to happen again, except that the cast of characters that were there are going to be multiplied many times over. In other words, what happened there in that little area of the Middle East is now going to happen worldwide, because now we're talking about God's New Testament people, which are worldwide. They, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, are a type and a shadow for us, the Jews, for the church. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this falling away, how that we're actually already started into it. And I say this because it's just been astounding to me to look around me and see things like this happening. In the last year and a half, it seems to have picked up speed a lot. I want to start in Matthew chapter 13. And right in the middle of the parable of the sower, the disciples came and said unto him, that is Jesus, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath." This is explained a little further down when he talks about those that have eyes and ears. How that they have understanding, they get to hold on to the Word of God, but those that don't have understanding, don't have eyes and ears, the devil comes and steals even that which they have. Okay? Verse 13, therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Well, that seems strange. You know, it seems like the Lord would speak to them very simply if they didn't have eyes and ears, except that he said that basically those people that don't have these things, they're going to lose even what they do have. And verse 14, and unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. So, the people that Jesus came to, the Jews, his covenant people, at the end of their covenant, he came to them and he spoke to them in parables so that they wouldn't see. It's very, very plain what's being said here. So that they wouldn't see. Meaning, God had already turned them over to this supernatural blindness that the God of this world has put upon those that don't live in the light. That can't happen to God's people without God's permission. At the very least, I will say God's permission. What I want to tell you is that this is going to be fulfilled in our time too. Everything that happened unto them, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, is for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Ends of the ages have come? Yes. It was an end of an age when the church was started. It was the end of the first covenant. The covenant with his first Old Testament people. That was the end of an age. We are now coming to the end of an age again, when the church is going to be fully formed. We're at the end of our covenant like they were at the end of theirs. Notice that when Jesus came on the scene as the man-child of that day, and he taught, he knew he wasn't reaching some people. Matter of fact, he was purposely not reaching some people that were called the people of God. Well, it's still true today. When the man-child comes on the scene today, he is going to be, to some people, speaking in parables. And purposely, so that they will not understand. Because God has not given them to understand. And I want to tell you that this time it's going to be church people. People who have been recognized to be the people of God. The rest of this parable, I'll just read a little bit more of it here. It says, verse 16, But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. These elect disciples, this remnant out of this apostate early church, they had the gift from God. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and hear the things which you hear and heard them not. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. Well, obviously, these people that were not the remnant were in this situation. They didn't understand it, and the devil just took it away from them. But then we talk about, Jesus talks about three more groups here. Okay, verse 20 on down through 23. Verse 20 says, and he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. In verse 22, but he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So that's two groups there that did hear the word. They weren't like the first group, verse 19, that didn't hear it, didn't understand it. They heard it, but they didn't understand it with their heart. These two here heard it and understood it. Okay? But they became unfruitful. They fell away. Then we have the last one, verse 23, and he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily bringeth forth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So there's three there. There's actually four, but the first one, they heard the word but never understood it at all. Okay? And I want to say that when the man-child goes forth among God's people, there will be those that never understand it at all. And it will be blocked from them. They won't have a gift to receive it. There's a reason for this, and I hope to get into that. But notice here that there were two groups of those that did hear it and did understand it that fell away. That's two-thirds and one-third left. Two-thirds and one-third. Now, it's strange we find this in other places in the Bible. You know, for instance, if you go to Zechariah 13, in verse 7, it says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land," in all of the land, I think this has a broader meaning for us today, "in all of the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein." Notice there were two parts in Jesus' parable of the people who received the word in their heart, but fell away. Okay, and there was a third part that bore fruit. But he says here, a third shall be left therein. Two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part into the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They will call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. So, this third part here ends up being the elect of God. They are the chosen of God. The two parts that were cut off don't appear to, it doesn't say anything about this concerning them. And the word cut off, by the way, is used in different ways in the scriptures. In the next chapter, for instance, it says that the residue of the people shall not be cut off, or the remnant of the people will not be cut off from the city. That could have a spiritual connotation too, because we have a spiritual city. And but some will be obviously cut off from the city. So you can be cut off from a city. You can be cut off as far as your body dying. You can be cut off in your soul. We know from Matthew 13 that he's talking about people who have been cut off in soul. They're lost. They didn't bear fruit. You know, Numbers 15 and verse 30, Numbers 15 from, say, 27 on down to 30, talks about the people who sin unwittingly, how that God's got an offering for them, an atonement for them, so on and so forth. But then in verse 30 he says, "But the soul that doeth aught with a high hand, whether he be homeborn or sojourner, the same blasphemeth the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from among his people." That soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken the commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, utterly, completely be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. Well, this is somebody that's just lost, folks, because cut off here, notice what cut off is here. In this case, it's the same as in the parable of the sower. They're just lost. I mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, Exodus chapter 12. Let me read that to you. Verse 15, it says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. This is the last 7 days that they were in Egypt, which is a type of the world, okay? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That is an eternal judgment, folks. Both of these are eternal judgments. You see, folks, we're talking about a great falling away here of two-thirds of what we're calling Christians, people who say they've received the Lord and may have received a new spirit, but they refuse to have a regenerate soul, as Peter spoke in Peter. You know, their soul be born again through your obedience to the truth, Peter said. You know, your soul has to be born again after your spirit's born again. Your spirit's born again to empower you to have your soul born again, so that as you bear fruit in your soul, you can ultimately have a born-again body. So the born-again experience is spirit, soul, and body. I know religion likes to cut that short, but it is really, that's what it covers in the Scriptures. Now, I want to tell you that the Bible says in Revelation 12 and 4 that the dragon, the tail of the dragon, will cast a third of the stars of heaven down to the earth. And you know the stars of the heaven, the Bible tells us, not what men say, but the Bible tells us that the stars of the heavens are as Abraham's seed, or as the stars of the heavens. All we have to do is take it right straight out of the Bible, folks. Never mind making these angels, because it's just not the truth. A third of the stars of heaven. And that's in verse 4. His tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Well, this is the dragon doing this, right? Okay, that's one third. Where's the other third that is lost? Well, I will look at Revelation chapter 6, which, speaking in the time of the day of the Lord, when the sun and the moon are darkened, which is the end of the tribulation. Did you notice the dragon? His ministry is in the first 3.5 years. Then that's taken over by the beast. Well, the dragon casts a third of the stars down. And now it tells us in chapter 6, in verse 12, "And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood." When the sun and the moon are darkened, the Bible says that's the great and terrible day of the Lord, which comes after the tribulation period. Literally, the Bible says after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord come. So we see this as being at the end of the tribulation period under the beast's ministry. Not the dragon, the beast. And what does it say? "And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she is shaken of a great wind. And the heaven is removed as a scroll when it's rolled up. And every mountain and every island moved out of their places." This is the day of the Lord. And so, again, we see stars falling here. Could this be exactly what we're seeing in the Gospels, in Matthew 13, for instance, and in Zechariah, and other places, that a great falling away is going to be happening during the tribulation period? And we notice that there was another part that didn't even hear and understand that we just read about there in Matthew 13. Another part. So already we see probably two-thirds here falling away, and another third bearing fruit and going through the fire and being cleansed and purged and purified. When the man-child ministry starts, Jesus said, of course, in John 16, that he was coming again as a man-child born to a woman, and he told his disciples, basically, they were that woman in travail. They were the church. The disciples was his first church, his called-out ones. And when we read in Revelation chapter 12, we see that man-child born to a woman over there, seemingly having the same ministry as Jesus for 3.5 years, feeding the woman in the wilderness. See? But Jesus said, when he was teaching, that these people's eyes and ears were closed. They couldn't receive it. The rest that did receive it, two-thirds fell away. Why is this? Why is this great falling away? Why are we looking around us today, actually, and seeing a great falling away, a great delusion of people? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, it wasn't just the people that were falling away. Matthew 13 basically covered all the Jews that were in apostasy. But also, in Matthew 21, we see another type for our day, because everything that happened in these Gospels has happened again. The Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. We're in the same time that they were. We're at the end of our covenant. They were at the end of their covenant. And so, watch carefully. In Matthew 21, in verse 34, Jesus' parable, he said, "And when the season of the fruits drew near..." This is we're coming to the harvest, folks. The season of the fruits is drawing near. "He sent his servants to the husbandmen to receive his fruits. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants, more than the first. And they did unto them in like manner. But afterward he sent unto them his son, saying, 'They will reverence my son.' But the husbandmen, when they saw the son, said among themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and take his inheritance.' And they took him and cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the Lord of the vineyard shall come, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" Well, we know what he did in 70 A.D., He destroyed them. He destroyed their city. The beast devoured them. And we know what the book of Revelation tells us is going to happen in the end of our age. The same thing is going to happen. So, history is repeating. Now, the truth is that the servants of God are going forth to speak to the husbandmen today. They have been. They're speaking to them the truth, the gospel. And they won't hear them. And after a manner, they persecute them and kill them, spiritually speaking. Because you know that when Jesus was crucified, he was a physical, literal Jew, the literal man-child, and he physically died through physical crucifixion. But the Apostle Paul told us that we have a spiritual crucifixion, a death, burial, and resurrection to go through in our day. What was physical to the physical Messiah is going to be spiritual to the end-time man-child, you see. So, there is a death, burial, and resurrection that comes about through persecution of the harlot church and the sons of perdition. So, you see, this same thing is going to happen. It is happening in our day. People are being spiritually put to death, crucified by these apostates that are supposedly the husbandmen of God's fruit, to bring forth fruit. Why is it that such a large group of people, almost all of the leadership of Judaism, persecuted Jesus and his disciples? And is it going to be so in our day? Yes, it is going to be so in our day. And you say, what could happen that would cause that? Well, we're seeing it happen. We're seeing it happen all around us. Let me give you a reason why it can happen, okay? Why it would happen. Why God would do this. Why would he not try to reveal to these men the truth? I'm going to start in Romans chapter... Well, I'll start in 1 and 32, I guess. Yeah, maybe I better back up a little bit here. Verse 28, okay. "And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness and full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things." You say, well, that's got to be the pagans. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he mentions this kind of a list, and he says, "Those that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, from such turn away." He was talking about people that call themselves godly. "Without understanding, covenant breakers." Covenant breakers. "Without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God..." So you don't think this is really the pagans, do you? "Knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent, with them that practice them. Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Well, notice one of the judgments up there was he turned them over to a reprobate mind to do these things that were not fitting. Did he not do that with the Jews? I mean, he turned them over to their own devices. He didn't give them eyes to see and ears to hear. He spoke to them in parables so that they wouldn't hear. God already had started at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. At least he had already started doing this. And I say long before Jesus' ministry, he was beginning to do this. Okay. And will it be before the man-child's ministry? Yes, I believe we're seeing it right now. That people are being, even while they're in their pulpits, or even while they're in their churches, they're being turned over to reprobate minds. They will not hear the truth, and when the man-child comes, they will fight against him as they always have. Their forefathers, their spiritual forefathers have. And he says, if you preach against these things and you're doing them yourself, you're not going to escape the judgment of God. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Well, you know who's going into the day of wrath, don't you? The Jews that didn't receive light, they went into the day of wrath. And in 70 A.D., they were judged. So, who will render to every man according to his works, to them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil. Look, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. In other words, also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile or Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, what I'm saying is, yes, it did happen in these days. Jesus only sent his ministers out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it happened, it's going to happen in our days. As a matter of fact, it is happening in our days. Notice that part of this judgment was a reprobate mind. He turned them over to reprobate mind. They were disobedient. They rebelled. They judged others. They knew what was right. They taught sometimes what was right. Jesus even told the disciples, he says, well, obey what they tell you, but don't do what they do. You know, I mean, they sit in the seat of Moses, so obey what they tell you, but don't do what they do. You know, well, what does God do with people that are like the leaders of Christianity today? I would say you ought to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for just a moment. 2 Thessalonians 2 is talking about, of course, the son of perdition. Many people have not realized yet that Judas himself was the son of perdition among the disciples, but yet he brought forth no fruit. He didn't repent. He went his own way, did his own thing. And Paul used him as a type and a shadow of an end-time corporate body called the Son of Perdition that sits in the temple of God. By the way, the word temple here was never used of the physical temple. It was always used by Paul in every other case as the temple of God's people. The word for... Yes, that's right, folks. Now, sitting in the temple of God today, just like Judas was sitting in the temple of God in his day, that is the people of God whom the Lord said was his temple. Sitting in the temple of God today is another Judas Iscariot, is another son of perdition, a corporate body that's spread out throughout the earth. And because these people are no more repentant than Judas was, and always selfish and looking out after their own desires, their own idols, the Lord judged them too, the same way. Look what he says in verse 9. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, that's interesting. This lawless one that's coming with signs and wonders. You know, Jesus did signs and wonders. He was among the disciples and did signs and wonders. But now he's talking about the son of perdition doing lying signs and wonders. Because you really couldn't confirm the word of Judas. You can confirm the word of the disciples with signs and wonders. But there are Judases out there. Their works are abominable, just like Judas's were. So these confirmations, these signs and wonders give a false confirmation to a people who are just sons of perdition, whose coming is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, the only defense God's people have is going to be a love of the truth. And verse 11, and for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. Do we see that in Matthew 13? God took credit through Isaiah for this blindness. And when he sent Jesus, he didn't even attempt to take away their blindness. Spoke to them in parables so that they wouldn't understand. Then he took the disciples aside privately and revealed all things unto them. The disciples didn't understand some things too, but he took them aside and he shared it with them privately, the Bible says. So for this cause, God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they were pleased in living contrary to God's word, God's commands, so on and so forth. He sent them a delusion that they would believe a lie. Is he doing it today? Well, he certainly is. Those Jews that didn't believe Jesus, they were hung up into an idolatry with their religious institutions. Their religious leaders all persecuted Jesus, just like today they will all persecute the man-child, and they will not understand the things that the man-child is coming to share. But the disciples, the remnant, will understand that we are already beginning this blindness, this falling away. I believe it's always been in the earth. Obviously, it's always been in the earth. This is one of the judgments that God brings forth because of this. You know what? When this, everything's not bad concerning this. I mean, when these people have all fallen away, during that whole time, God is doing what Jesus did. The man-child is going to be doing what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Well, you know what? He was a friend of sinners. He ate with the publicans and the harlots sometimes. Matthew 21, look at that for just a moment. And we'll look at verse 28. But what think ye? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, Son, go work today in the vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented himself and went. And he came to the second, and he said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they say, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow, he was talking to the leaders of God's people. That's a type and a shadow, friends. According to what the Lord told me, that's a type and a shadow to what we're coming to. Before the great respected leaders that have turned to apostasy with their institutions made from men, before they enter the kingdom, all the publicans and the harlots that are listening to what Jesus had to say, great sinners that sat with Jesus, you know, when they questioned Jesus and rebuked him for eating with these people, he told them that He that is sick has need of a healer, not he that is whole. Of course, they considered themselves whole, but he knew better. He knew that they couldn't receive. He was going to trainable people, people that knew they were sinners, people that knew they needed help. Folks, that's what's going to happen. The Lord's going to take the kingdom away from these idolatrous leaders and the people who are in idolatry with them, and he's going to give it to the sinners. Sinners are going to come into the kingdom. He's going to give it to the sinners. They're going to lose their crown, but others are going to take it up. Look at John chapter 8. Why are these delusions going across the land, folks? You know, it's amazing to me that whether it's in the full gospel churches or whether it's in the unspirit-filled churches, I should call them, those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, which you are supposed to depart from. If you're in one of those, you have no business there. Get out of it. It's not a church. What we're reading about in the Bible is the church. The church is the spirit-filled, gifted people of God. Christianity is supernatural. If you're going to a church that doesn't believe in the fullness of the Spirit and the gifts, you're commanded by God Almighty to get out of it. Okay, I didn't make the rules. I'm just reading them here, okay? So, basically, whether it's a full gospel church or a non-denominational or a denominational-type church that doesn't believe in the full gospel, there is a great delusion, a great deception, a great falling away out there. Now, we can see how the non-full gospel churches are falling away. They've made up doctrines of men that make it suitable. Since they don't have any power from God, and they know that walking in holiness is not possible because they've rejected the Holy Spirit that empowers them to walk in holiness, and they have doctrines that are apostate, and they preach false antichrist doctrines like you're always going to be a sinner. We see what has those people. But what about the full gospel people? There are just waves of delusion, false, lying signs and wonders washing over the so-called full gospel leaders of Christianity. It's astounding. And the funny thing is, you know, let me tell you something before I read this. I was told by a couple recently, they told me I could share their name even, Eric and Lisa. They told me about going to a revival where there were these false signs and wonders, and Lisa told me about when she was being prayed over, she felt like she was being spiritually attacked. And so they told me about this afterwards, and it was the false revival that's going throughout the land and throughout the world. You know, the fire, more stuff, which is just a mantra to call demons. This reason I know this is because I have discerning of spirits. I see demons with my eyes. I saw demons being imparted in that revival, in those revivals, into people. I saw them in the leaders, their religious spirits. So they told me about this, and I said, well, look, I'm going to tell you something. Here's some things you watch out for. Listen to what I'm telling you very carefully. If Lisa, Eric wouldn't be prayed for, but Lisa was prayed for, I said, Eric, if Lisa has been infected with these lying demons that have lying signs and wonders that have no representation in the Scriptures, if she's been infected, here's the first thing that's going to happen. I said to him, I said, she's going to hear voices. She's going to be convinced that these voices are God. She's going to be so convinced that these voices are God that she's going to ignore the Bible when you show the Bible to her. And I said, more than likely, she's going to rebel against you. Now, I told this to both of them. I told them both. Now, you watch. If you see these symptoms, you know, pray. Do something, you know. So, you know what? A week and a half later, I get a call from Eric, and he says, you know, you were dead on. Everything you said happened. She started hearing these voices. I tried to reason with her with the Word that what she was hearing was unscriptural. She didn't want to hear the Word. And then she left me. So I began to instruct Eric on doing spiritual warfare, walking by faith, holding fast his confession, and I believe he's making progress. I really do. And I praise God for that. But I want to tell you, folks, this is washing all over the world, these lying signs and wonders. And when this happens to people, the same symptoms happen. Even before they enter into the signs and wonders themselves, the first thing that happens is they hear voices. They're very convinced that these voices are the Lord, but they're very contrary to the Word. I thought to myself, as I've seen this happen over the last 11 years, as I've watched this, I thought to myself, wow, this is just awesome. You can't convince these people that the Word of God is true. You cannot do it. They've got the Lord speaking in their mind, and they know that that Lord is correct and that these Scriptures are wrong. Now, they won't confess that the Scriptures are wrong, but they won't submit to the Word. They've been delivered over to a delusion, folks. Why did the devil use signs and wonders on them? Because they believe in them. Are signs and wonders good? Of course. But there are lying signs and wonders. Now, the thing is, can you be saved without obedience? What else would the devil have you believe than send you a voice that will lead you contrary to the Word in every step? Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus therefore said unto those Jews that had believed him. Now, he's not just talking to any Jews here. He's talking to ones that believed him. Surprisingly, look at the text. If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No promise to the person that merely believed without being a disciple. Did you notice that? He made the condition, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. There's the condition, folks. It's not just believing, it's discipleship. It's not just being a hearer of the word, it's being a doer of the word. What did he say in James chapter 1 and 22? Deluding yourselves. If one is merely a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, they delude themselves. Who is it that is receiving these delusions? It is the people in Romans chapter 2 that are not being obedient to what God has given to them. Many other people are protected. I was protected. I just talked, by the way, to Mark and Gwen Amadee, who were friends of mine from Louisiana. Mark told me about, he went to one of these revivals, and they were doing the same kind of false signs and wonders. And they were ignorant of this revival. They'd never seen anything. But they went in there. They pled the blood of Jesus over four of them when they went into the revival. Four of them. He said when they went down there, the people went all the way around and prayed for everybody around them, but they wouldn't touch them. Those four that pled the blood, nobody prayed for them. Although they went down there into the crowd to be prayed for. People just walked around them, prayed for people all around, wouldn't pray for them. Same thing happened to me, folks. I went to a revival one time, but I knew they were demons. But the Lord told me, go down and get in the line to be prayed for. And I said, Lord, me? He said, yes, you. I want you to go down there. So as I was going down, I bound the demon spirits, the religious spirits, from touching me in Jesus' name. The evangelist walked down the line, and he was laying hands on people, and they were jerking and twitching and doing all these things. And when he got to me, he couldn't touch me. He tried it three times. He couldn't put his hands on me. He tried to put them on my chest to pray for me. Every time, it just pushed his whole body back. And the third time, he fell on the floor. He didn't pray for anybody else. I asked the Lord for that confirmation so I could give it to my brethren. I saw the demons. I knew that they were imparting demons. But I asked the Lord for this confirmation. And he's given many people confirmations. Notice that it's more than just believing in Jesus, folks. It's discipleship. Discipleship means a learner and a follower. A learner and a follower of Christ. Notice what he said to these people. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. They answered and said unto him, we're Abraham's seed. Who else is Abraham's seed? We, the people of the new covenant, are called Abraham's seed according to faith. You mean that there are people who believe Jesus and are Abraham's seed that are not going to make it because they're not disciples? Exactly. Watch. They answered and said unto him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, they were in bondage to men. They were in bondage to these Pharisees and Sadducees, these merchants of Babylon, these apostates that were ruling over the people of God. Don't think it can't happen today, folks. It is happening. It is happening today. The leadership of Christianity is going down the drain as we speak. They are falling into all kinds of corruption, sin, lying signs and wonders. They can't speak the word. They can't believe the word. They can't act on the word. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, every one that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin." He's still talking to the same people, the ones that believed him. "Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, and the bondservant abideth not in the house forever." People who are in bondage to sin don't understand that Jesus came to set you free from sin. They were preaching the same kind of apostate gospel that the preachers are doing today. Just accept your forgiveness. Never mind thinking you're ever going to be cleansed from sin. Well, that's what Jesus did, folks. He cleansed us from sin. And the bondservant to sin, obviously, is not, abideth not in the house forever. Well, we just looked at a great falling away of people that didn't continue to abide in the house. I'm talking about the real house of God, not the buildings that they build. The real house of God. They didn't continue to abide, did they? Why is it that God didn't give them wisdom? He didn't give them discernment? And the ones that did come in fully into believing him didn't keep their fruit, didn't bear fruit, fell away. Two-thirds fell away, and one-third bore fruit. And now we see that the publicans and the harlots are going to come and take their place. "If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you seek to kill me because of my word, because my word hath not free course in you." Now, I'm going to come back to this seeking to kill him. I mean, these are the people he said believed him. He had already said this to them before. Matter of fact, I'm going to go over there right now. I think in chapter 7, in 19 and 20, they thought, "Wow, Jesus, what are you talking about?" 7:19. Did not Moses give you, let's see, chapter 7. Yes, that's it. 19. "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you doeth the law? Why seek ye to kill me?" The multitudes answered, "Thou hast a demon. Who seeketh to kill thee?" What was Jesus talking about? These people didn't know anything about wanting to kill him. Well, if you continue a little bit further in John chapter 8, you see that these people became angry when he called them sons of the devil. These are people that did believe he was who he said he was, but they weren't walking as disciples. They weren't obedient. They were bondservants of sin. And he called them sons of the devil. But then they got angry with him. They said he had a demon. You know what? They didn't know anything about that they were going to be the ones to kill him at this time. They didn't know anything about it. He was prophesying to them. Verse 37. "I know that you are Abraham's seed, and yet you seek to kill me, because my word hath not free course in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. You also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said unto him, "Our father's Abraham." It's the same, folks. There are people that believe that they are sons of Abraham through faith, but their works prove that they're sons of the devil. "Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's..." Excuse me. I'm going to be verse 39. "They answered and said unto him, Our father's Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Obviously, it's still true today, folks. If you're children of the Lord, you're going to do his works. "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father." They said unto him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus saith unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and have come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me." No, in other words, if they were from God the Father, they would love Jesus. Jesus said, "Those that love me will keep my commandments." All that love me will keep my commandments. In other words, it's all right. They believed, and they thought that was enough. Just believing that he was who he said he was, that wasn't enough. Jesus said, no, you have to be a disciple. You have to abide in my word and be a disciple. If you're a bondservant of sin, you're not going to abide in the house forever. They had to come under grace. You know, faith without works is dead, the Bible says. I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Who couldn't hear his word in Matthew 13? The people of God, the covenant people, could not hear his word. Can they hear it today? Well, those of you who have tried know that the overwhelming majority cannot. And yet they proclaim to be Christian. They proclaim to be sons of Abraham through faith. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. How much of the church has rejected how much truth? They seem to want very little truth. They seem to want justification, but very little truth. Well, the people that do love and seek the truth, that do love to seek out God's commandments and keep them, that's the remnant, folks, that will never be turned away. They'll always have eyes to see and ears to hear. But the multitudes of, well, we should say at least two-thirds there we saw, that do believe and do receive the word in their heart, but fall away, because they love this world, because of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life. These are not the elect of God, folks. Jesus went on to say, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. Why is it that so many of what are called God's covenant people receive a lie, receive false doctrine, have not enough love for the truth to search it out for themselves and humbly submit to it, in order to be a disciple of Christ? Oh, yeah, they believe in Jesus. They believe he is who he said he was. But they're not disciples of Christ. And this is what Jesus came to make. Not just believers, but believers who are disciples. But because I say the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? If I say truth, why do you not believe me? He that's of God hears the words of God. Listen, folks, he that's of God, they believed in Jesus. He that's of God hears the words of God. For this cause you hear them not, because you are not of God. That was his covenant people. This is a type and a shadow for the apostates in our day. The apostates are not of God. They haven't been born of God. Notice in the parable of the sower, who it is that's born of God? It's those that receive the word in their heart, and that word bears fruit in their heart. You know, there are many people out there that confess that Jesus is their Savior, but they won't receive the word in their heart to bear the fruit. They're deceived. Multitudes are deceived, both of the full gospel, so-called, and the non-full gospel. The Spirit-filled and the non-Spirit-filled, they're deceived. The Lord, the only thing that's of God, those that hear the word of God, these are the ones that are of God, because that word of God brings forth its fruit in their heart. The Jews answered and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a demon? Jesus answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I want to tell you the same thing is going to happen with the coming man-child, folks. They're going to say, this guy's demon-possessed for speaking what the Bible clearly says. But many of them are never going to understand what's being said. It's going to be like parables unto them. Even today, you try to tell people the clear, black-and-white Word of God. It's like a parable unto them. Yet they believe that they've received Jesus as their personal Savior, which, by the way, is not in the Word. Okay? But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my word, he shall never see death. No, that's not much premium on keeping the word nowadays, is there, folks? God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
You can cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, my Lord Jesus.